All right, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to go to our foundation text for the study that we began a week ago on pleasing the Lord. And I'm going to talk about some nitty-gritty stuff, don't I always, you know? And we're going to look at this and look at several scriptures, but we want to look at our foundation text. And let's go ahead and jump into verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Notice verse 10. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. How does the New International Version read? Please, what is pleasing, find out what is pleasing to the Lord. And so that's kind of what the study has been based on. And last week we looked at one big thing. It's major. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that it is impossible to please God without what? Without faith. We have to have faith if we're going to please the Lord. And we talked about some of what faith does in our lives. It opens up a whole new world of possibility in our lives. And so we're thankful for faith. And then we looked at Romans chapter 8 that said what does not please the Lord. And that is those who live by the dictates of the sinful nature, of the carnal nature, cannot please the Lord. And so, you know, that we talked about the struggles that we all have with our particular sinful nature. You know, let me say here that we all have what I like to call signature sins. Signature sins. And that is a sin that the enemy has tailor-made to your specific personality and temperament and weaknesses. And so sin doesn't come at us in a general way. The devil offers sin in a very tailor-made way. You know that? He'll basically have your name written on it because he knows all of our weaknesses. He knows all of our flaws. He knows which buttons to push. He knows what kind of reaction we'll get when he pushes those buttons. Can I get a witness in the house? Right? And we all have those buttons. Now, the beautiful thing was that Jesus didn't have any buttons that Satan could push. In fact, Jesus himself said in John chapter 14, he says, the prince of this world has come to me and has found nothing in me. In other words, couldn't find a handle for him to do his work in me. He's found nothing. Jesus was like a greased pig to the devil, right? There were no buttons Satan could push and that Jesus would give him a reaction. Alrighty, so tonight let's talk about, go with me to Galatians chapter 1, and I want to talk about pleasing God versus pleasing people. Pleasing God versus pleasing people. We're going to read, begin reading with verse 10. Well, actually, we'll just read verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Now, notice what Paul says. That if we are people pleasers, we are not really serving whom? We're not serving the Lord. We're not serving Christ. So that says to me that if I become a people pleaser, that sets me as hindered from serving Christ to my full potential. Right? Isn't that what Paul says? That we don't want to please men. We want to rather please God. Now, for the most part, most of what we do as Christians, people will accept. They'll accept our kindness. They'll accept our generosity. They'll accept our hope. They'll accept our smiles. They'll accept our goodwill. But start talking about Jesus being the only way to God, and then all of a sudden, well, you lost me there. Amen? And you start talking about Jesus being God the Son, and some will just go, you lost me there. Well, at some point, we're going to have to take a stand for Christ if it displeases other people. Amen? I mean, isn't that what that hymn is about? Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high the royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. I mean, those are basically our marching orders set to music. You know, I've used this illustration before. I want to use it yet again because it is just so perfect. Billy Sunday used to play baseball, right, Mr. Genius? Who for? Chicago White Sox? The what? Okay, thank you, sir. I got to go to my thesaurus here, my reference book, my British Britannica. It's not useless. And so he became a preacher. You know, he was reached for the gospel and he was preaching the word of God. And as sometimes is the case in church life, there were some rumblings among the members and they were talking amongst themselves about some of the messages they weren't liking that Billy Sunday was preaching. And they said, one brave man said, hey, I'll go talk to Billy. I'll try to relay what you guys are concerned about and say, hey, Billy, the people of this church are saying you're rubbing the fur on the cat the wrong way. Billy Sunday responded without losing a beat. He said, well, you tell them the old cat's headed toward hell. If they turn around, the cat would turn around, I'd be rubbing it the right way. It's a lesson in people pleasing. How many of us know that if you're going to follow Christ, you're going to come up on this issue of whether I will serve Christ or whether I'm going to please people? Once had a church member tell me, you know, that their spouse told them, you can't go to church, you can't go to church, you can't go to church. And so the church member did not go to church for the longest time and they regretted it. And they said, my husband's only doing this to try to control me. So this person said, you know what? I'm serving Christ. I need to be in church. So this person got back into church and they said, man, I'm glad I didn't stay under that control where somebody didn't want me going to church because it made them uncomfortable that they weren't going to church. Can I get a witness? Amen? You know, people are funky like that. You know, in John chapter 2, out of the New Living Translation, I'm sure Miss Nola will like this, that Jesus said that he knew what was in man and he did not commit himself to man because he knew that man was manipulative. He did not entrust himself to man because he knew what was the makeup of a person. So Jesus was very weary of who he put his trust in regarding people. Right? In fact, did he not only have three close friends from the disciples? Peter, you can help me. John and James. And then he had three other friends that were related. They were siblings. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. That's about it. Now, while John the Baptist was alive, Jesus had kinship because they were cousins. Okay, but those are really the only people he, Jesus, trusted. The other people he did not trust. They tried to manipulate him. Okay, remember in John chapter 6, the Bible says when the crowd saw him multiplying the fish and the loaf, they tried to force him to become earthly king and overthrow Rome. They said, if this guy can multiply food like that, what do you think he can do to Caesar? Well, Jesus said he just departed in a boat away from the crowd because he knew that they were trying to put their hooks in him to get him to carry out their agenda. It's called people-pleasing. So let me ask a question. Is there someone in our lives, perhaps a relative? And trust me, I've been down that road. I had an earthly dad, bless his sweetheart, that You know, I quickly learned when he was trying to shame me. I quickly learned when he was trying to guilt me. So then he shifted his modes with me. And this is, well, I was an adult with my own family. He tried to change his modes of approaching me. And he said, oh, Joe, I need to give my life to the Lord. Well, you know, you always want to be open to someone telling you that they need to accept Jesus. And so I said, so what's the deal, Dad? And so he wrote me this letter. Had nothing to do with accepting Jesus. It had something to do with my mom at that point wanted to divorce my dad, and my dad was summoning support for his side. I'm like, see why we don't please people? Amen? I was having a conversation with Scott Sunday morning, and he addressed some of the things that I said on Vision Sunday. And he said, I don't know how you can not hoard people that easily. He said, for me, my heart is for people. But then I explained to him that out of 30 years of ministry, that some people in church that you give a platform to, listen carefully, talking about people pleasing, that you give a platform to can manipulate and are very immature and don't deserve the platform that many people give them. We had a gentleman leave this church, and he would always text somebody in our church and tell them what all the complaints they had about me. And so that other person screenshotted that text of this person complaining to them, and he sent it to me. And I'm like, I said, this guy with complaints, need to meet with me and quit going to you. Well, when we met face to face, he bugged out. He didn't address any of his complaints. He just said, Pastor, you just be yourself. But that was just the starting point. It went on and on. And you're looking at me and like, why would you say that? You just got off talking about mercy. But I'm also about truth. Because I fear that sometimes we give the wrong people the platform, the position, or the power in a church where they deserve none. Yoo-hoo. They're not spiritually mature, number one. They have no leadership qualities, number two. They have a shady way of dealing with people, number three. And at some point, I'm not saying run them off away from the church. I'm not saying that. But don't give them the time of day that you've been giving them, man. Just unplug them and expect them to toe the line and to live as Christ-like, like the rest of us are trying to do. Why is it that some grown men, this is a big hang-up with me, in churches, some grown men, people like to cater to. They coddle their ego. They coddle their fragile ego. They coddle their little hurt feelings over and over. And I know there's a cure for that. And it's called, it's like a miracle grow for man. It's called Grow a Set. Can I get a witness, please? Some men in church need to do exactly that. And it's sad for me to see another grown man giving this baby, big old baby, still with a sucking off of a spiritual milk bottle dangling off of his mouth, giving him the platform that that person does not deserve. And trust me, listen to what I say, because then all of a sudden, we're no longer about serving Jesus. Now we're about pleasing people. Mark this down. What we compromise to keep, we will always lose. What we compromise to keep, we will always lose. And the sad part about this particular gentleman I'm thinking of, he kept threatening he was going to leave the church. He left the church anyway. So why are we not expecting him to be a man like the rest of the other men of this church? You know what that's called? That's called dysfunction. That's called enabling bad behavior. Jesus never enabled bad behavior. Jesus confronted continual bad behavior and called for change. Okay? Matthew chapter 9, I'm going to read a verse of scripture from Matthew 9 out of the Message Bible. I think it's important that we should see this verse from the Message Bible. Let me type it in. I love this particular version of the Bible on this one. You know, it's when Jesus said, I have not come for the righteous. I have come for the sinners. I have not come for the for those who are well. I have come for those who need a physician. Let me see here if I can locate it off of, here it is. Jesus overhearing shot back, who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick? Go figure out what this scripture means. I'm after mercy, not religion. Notice the next phrase. I'm here to invite outsiders, not coddle insiders. I'm not here, Jesus said, to coddle insiders. I'm here to invite outsiders. Could Jesus ever coddle the Pharisees? Even if he tried, he would never been able to satisfy them. Right? So, back to the point. We're talking about pleasing people versus pleasing God. And it's much more subtle than we think it is. It's not just about facing a culture that's going to hell in a handbasket. Did some of you guys see the some of the highlights of the Grammy Awards? I don't tune into it. I used to tune into that stuff. I don't watch it anymore. There were two gals, and it was Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B, and they were simulating sexual positions on a stage while they were singing. That wasn't all. I know. I know, Dr. Seuss is inappropriate, Pepe Le Pew. I learned my courting techniques from Pepe Le Pew. It's crazy. You know, we live in a time where the Bible says in Isaiah 5, the time will come when they will call good evil and call evil good. I mean, that's the obvious. We're not catering to that, but let me ask you a question. Are we catering to the subtle in church? Are we coddling, all about coddling the insiders? You know, baby, I've got 30 years of ministry experience that tells me that's going to be a dead-end road. And this is how I'm speaking from experience. When I would do it as a young pastor, I was tired all the time. It was like me. It was like the tail always wagging the dog. It was that one person, the squeaky wheel, always getting the oil and not the vision for the church. See what I'm saying? We've got to be very careful with people pleasing. I'm not about, you know, I'm 55. And I'm not about, some of you are thinking, you're still a young pup. I'm not about to start people pleasing again. Why? You know, if we have grown people coming to church and you don't have the emotional makeup of an adult and you're still acting like a petulant teenager, the fear of man is a snare. Proverbs 29:25. And it goes on to say, but whoever trusts the Lord will be secure. So there are options. Do we want to go down a road where we're going to be ensnared time and time and time again? Or do we want to trust the Lord and be secure in our lives? Do you realize how often the New Testament says that a lot of the reasons why Jews did what they did, what motivated the Jews, was fear of people? Sometimes the Pharisees would not arrest Jesus prematurely because they feared the Jews. Some of the people did not side in with Jesus because they feared the crowds. Others did not follow Jesus because they feared the teachers of the law. Isn't that amazing how the fear of man is a snare? It'll paralyze us. It'll keep us from being all that God wants us to be because we're not pleasing God and we're pleasing people. So let me ask a question. Who are we catering to in our lives? Is it a child? Is it a grandchild? Who is it that holds us and continues to jerk our chain? Knowing that when they push a button within us, we're going to give them the same reaction we've been giving them. so we don't want to be found people-pleasing, do we? We want to please the Lord. Because people-pleasing, there's no end to that, and that'll get us in trouble. Okay, so we're going to broach this subject tonight, but we're going to finish it next week. Go with me to the book of Micah, please, in the Old Testament. Micah chapter 6. So far, so good, everybody? Did I get my point across? Let's begin reading with verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? With calves, a year old. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Now, those are drastic, drastic offerings. You know, Micah the prophet saying, you know, would the Lord be satisfied or pleased with 10,000 rams? That's a lot of rams. That's a lot of sacrifice, right? And he's asking these questions, but yet the Lord said, I'm not pleased with those. I'm not satisfied with those. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Okay, stop there. So now I'm going to introduce this subject tonight, and then we'll finish it off next week. Okay, this is very important. And let me make a statement before I begin to explain it. God is impossible to satisfy. He is much easier to please. Think about that. It is impossible for a human being to satisfy God. Let me ask you this question. Who was the only person who fully satisfied the demands, the perfect demands of the law? Jesus. Who was the only man or person who perfectly satisfied the wrath of God when it was poured out on him? Jesus. Were any of the animal sacrifices under the old covenant at any point did they satisfy the wrath of God? No. So I'll say it again. God is much easier to please than he is to satisfy. You and I can never satisfy this God. We can only please this God. God never called us to satisfy him. God called us to please him. Did I whet your appetite? We're going to break it down more. We'll look at it next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this precious crowd that is here. Lord, we ask your blessing upon each of our understanding. Help us to wrap our mind around these truths, Lord, that are so vital to our lives, to our relationship with you, Lord. Help us always to put you first and to be God pleasers and not people pleasers, Lord. Father, for in pleasing people will not be serving Christ. We pray this in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.